Welcome, Sideboard String Quartet.
Hello.
Thanks.
That just proves they're really here. They're going to be performing tonight at the Wisconsin Union Theater at 8 o'clock, and this is actually going to be kind of a sneak preview of that program tonight, because we'll be hearing some of the movements from some of the string quartets that they'll be playing, works by Haydn and by John Adams. And we're going to start with the Haydn, and that's going to involve one of the most famous of all string quartets, actually, the Emperor Quartet. And let me just start with Gefnekel. And, okay, a little technical note here. So, you're not one of the founders of the quartet, or are you?
I am. I am one of the founders, yes. 26 years now, so... You want it back?
I'm just wondering what makes somebody want to start a string quartet.
Two words, Joseph Haydn.
No kidding. Yeah. Well, he certainly produced enough repertory for you, but what in specific?
Well, he wrote 68 masterpieces. He created the genre. You could be in a string quartet and only play Haydn string quartets for your entire career and still scratch the surface of possibility. So just for that part of the repertoire alone, it's totally worth the commitment and effort.
And the interesting thing about the Haydn quartets is not that he wrote them, you know, all in the course of 10 years or something. They really represent a life's work of a major, long-lived composer.
Yeah, it's a great journey, starting with the early divertimenti, over 40 years, really, of his life. And at the end, he came back from London, and he could do anything, but he chose to write quartets, of which this is one of the Opus 76 sets. So it's a great story. And the problem is, here's the deal. When you write a lot of pieces, unfortunately, it makes people think that they're not all great. But if he only wrote three, I think we would have much more respect for the three. You know what I mean? Like it's
like, absolutely, but they're all great in this case.
I mean, after Opus 20, each one of them is a masterpiece that deserves real focus. Now, you know, that's where he gets sold short compared to someone like Beethoven, who only wrote 15. So, you know, we're here to support Haydn, basically.
Jeff, have you played them all?
I've not played them all sober.
And thereby hangs a tale.
Well, I mean, we've not performed them all in 25. I mean, even if we played all Haydn all the time, 100 concerts a year, it would, you know, it'd take a while to get through. So yes, we've played them all, but we have not performed them all on stage.
So I get the impression that actually these Haydn quartets are almost as important to you socially as professionally.
Well, what's more fun than hanging out with a little bit of food, a bottle of wine, playing some Haydn quartets with friends? I mean, that's how it all started, really, right? You know, the great story about Mozart and Haydn in Vienna in the 1780s, they would go to a dinner party and then they would read quartets after for fun. So in a sense, tonight and right now here, we're just hanging out with friends playing the greatest music ever composed.
Could do worse. The Haydn Emperor Quartet, it's one of the last quartets that he wrote, as you say, Opus 76. There are just two more after that in 77, I think, and then a partial 103, if I remember correctly. So this is very close to the end of that long, distinguished career. And you're going to be starting with the first movement of it. And what about it?
Well, there are two things to listen for. This is his most massive first movement, sonata form first movement, and it's really because he insists that we repeat both sections, the exposition and the development. And the coda, at the beginning of the coda, he says, la seconda volta più presto. So when you get to the second time through of the second half, you have to play faster. And that simple instruction really insists that the players repeat both sections. So when you're listening, you're going to hear the first bit, the development, we'll repeat it. Exposition, we'll repeat the development, and then the second time we'll play the coda, the little wrap-up bit, faster. So it makes for basically a 10-minute first movement of a Haydn quartet.
Here we go. Thank you.
Thank you. think of it. That's just the first movement of the Emperor Quartet by Joseph Haydn, and I think that really brings home that performance that Haydn, in his long life, heard a lot of dance music. Would you agree with that? I'm going over now to our second violinist, Owen Dalby.
Oh, yeah. Well, Haydn, among many of his geniuses, was his way of incorporating folk music into this style, this new genre of the quartet that he invented. So you can hear, I mean, of course, every quartet has either a minuet, which was a form that everyone in the day would have known how to dance to, or a scherzo, or some kind of dance movement built in. And you can hear it in the rhythms, you can hear it in the way that we interact with each other, and if you were here in the room, you'd probably see in the way we move together, too, because that's very much a part of quartet playing, is the dance of the ensemble.
Oh, yes, you were dancing for sure. Well, another thing that Haydn can do in many of his works, actually all of them, but some particularly prominently, and in the one at hand, too, this Emperor Quartet, is he could write a tune.
Yeah, well, that leads us right into the next movement, which is probably one of the great tunes of Western music. Complicated history, this tune was co-opted by various factions, but started off life as this quartet. We actually were recently in Vienna, Chris and I, and saw the house and where Haydn composed supposedly this tune for the Emperor Quartet. And actually, the inscription on the door had a brass plaque with a staff and the beginning of this melody. So it's an incredibly important, beautiful, simple melody that has an aura of nobility, empire, what have you. It's anthem, exactly. It's a great tune, and you know, it's the centerpiece of this great quartet.
Second movement of the Emperor Quartet, Joseph Haydn, as performed by our guest live in the Buck Studio, the St. Lawrence String Quartet.
Thank you.
St. Lawrence String Quartet with the second movement of Haydn's Emperor Concerto. They'll be playing that entire, not concerto, that's Beethoven, Emperor Quartet. They'll be playing the entire quartet tonight at the Wisconsin Union Theater, part of their program that starts at 8 o'clock. And now back to the St. Lawrence String Quartet, and we're going to go over to one of the co-founders. That's Leslie Robertson, the violist, and I'm going to walk over behind the quartet. And welcome to the Midday.
Thank you very much.
And so now we've already heard from Jeff what prompted the founding of this quartet. Would you agree with that, or do you have anything to add?
I always agree, of course.
That makes for a good, strong quartet, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, more nuts and bolts. We were all had all graduated from our training classes, and it was time to try something, and that's a good time to try a string quartet because you put it all on the line, and it's harder to do later when you have more responsibilities.
He mentioned a lot of Haydn, of course. What about this other composer, John Adams?
John has been a great part of our lives for the last 4 or 5 years, and before that, before we actually knew him personally, we played some of his works. This is the second of two quartets he's written for us, and it's been a real quite an adventure learning them and integrating them in our lives.
And what would we be hearing in this? This will be the first movement, I think, of the string quartet.
Yes, so the first movement of his second string quartet. It's a lot of interplay between the voices. A lot of you'll hear a lot of John's signature sort of colors and sounds. It's quite a athletic piece for the four of us. A lot of and a lot of moments of great beauty and
Beethoven.
And
Beethoven.
Chris can tell you all the details.
Well, this is. He's been inspired by Beethoven on a number of occasions. In fact, the first quartet he wrote for us, now entitled First String Quartet, used to be called String Quartet. And this is kind of funny because John Adams, as you may know, comes up with these pithy titles all of the time, and he calls his quartet String Quartet. When he first really came to hear us play live, we played his piece called John's Book of Alleged Dances, which is for string quartet, and some of the movements have pre-recorded tape. And on the second half of the program, we played Beethoven Opus 132. And he came backstage afterwards, and he didn't say too much about the John's Book of Alleged Dances. Hopefully he liked that. But he said, that 132 was amazing. Can I write you guys a string quartet?
Wow, such a deal.
So the Beethoven connection goes back to even before he wrote us a piece. This was about 2008 or so. So that first quartet came, doesn't have any Beethoven in it. Maybe there's some Beethoven influence. There's more sort of Ravel, Debussy influence in that piece, I would say. Then he wrote for us, before he wrote this quartet a few years ago, a piece for string quartet and orchestra. That's another whole story. It's with the San Francisco Symphony and Michael Tilson Thomas, and we've recorded it and played it on tour many times with them. It's called Absolute Jest. And has as its basis of ideas a lot of the late Beethoven string quartet scherzi movements. And you hear them very directly stated in that piece, among other Beethoven pieces. So when he decided to write a second quartet for us, he stuck with the Beethoven theme, although this time, and what you will hear in this movement, if you know the Opus 110 piano sonata of Beethoven, you will totally hear direct quotes, shall I say, from the scherzo movement. If we were to play the second movement, which we will tonight in our concert, of course, because we're playing the whole piece, you'll hear quotes, other quotes from the first movement of the Opus 110 piano sonata. In there also hiding is some Diabelli variations, and I think that's in the second movement only, though, and maybe some other little hidden Beethoven quotes. So Beethoven has been definitely an inspiration for John for some time now.
And we'll hear it in this. Okay, so this is then the first movement of the second string quartet by the American composer John Adams. Thank you. The first movement of the Second String Quartet by John Adams, played by my guests today, the St. Lawrence String Quartet. Back with the St. Lawrence String Quartet, performing tonight, they will be at the Wisconsin Union Theater, 8 o'clock, a program of Haydn and John Adams that we're sampling during the midday today. And in addition to all those great tunes and to the dance rhythms and all that, Haydn was also famous for his jokes. And that brings me back to Jeff Nuttall.
Thanks, yeah. Hey, for you all out there in Radio Land who are thinking about coming to the show tonight, this is by far the weakest part of the program that we're playing today. So if you come tonight, it's going to be way better. Just so
hard to imagine, yeah. But if you say so.
So the joke, I mean, Haydn did musical whimsy and humor better than anyone else. And it's really hard to do. All you composers out there listening, you're nodding knowingly, I can tell. It's really hard to do well. Beethoven tried and often failed. But Haydn really did it well. And what he does, and I want to set up the joke a little bit, it's always a tough call. You know, like when I'm telling a joke to my four-year-old, do you help him with the punchline or you just sort of give it to him?
And then it kind of dies, right?
And then it sort of dies. So we're going to set it up a little bit because part of the joke is understanding the game, and in this case, understanding the form of the movement. It's a rondo form. And so that means you're going to hear this opening tune, our home theme, about seven times in the movement. And it's all about getting that in your system so you're really ready for it, just living that moment. So just for all you out there to prepare you, now you're going to hear it nine times. Here's our rondo theme, which I want you to nod knowingly whenever we return to it throughout the movement. Repeat. Good. So you're with us, right? You'll follow. That's home. You're going to get it. Now, of course, it's all about getting that in your system, humming along, expectation, and then Haydn's genius using silence as topic, and in this case, using silence as humor.
Kind of a tease.
Here we go.
Had you guess him, didn't he? That Haydn, always ready with a joke, and one of the jokes which he has played occasionally would be, is it over yet? Is it over yet? You know, which is, puts us in a state of consternation even today.
Thanks for laughing.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for nodding when that key theme came back. That was that was the final movement of the Joke Quartet, the aptly named Joke Quartet by Haydn. St. Lawrence String Quartet has been my guest today. Now, they have, by the way, served residencies in... at the Juilliard School, Yale University, University of Toronto, the Hart School, and Stanford University. And in your work at Stanford University, I notice you have worked with the medical school and the law school. How does a string quartet tie into that?
Well, there are a lot of medical people who are amateur musicians, so we pretend to be amateur physicians.
You're not the only ones.
No, not really. No, we've done interesting collaborative programs with med school folks. The first one I remember was there was a class given to med students about doctor-patient interaction. And so we talked about how we communicate through music and the kinds of things we say to audiences through our music. And there were direct connections there. We've done other programs, too, where we've... there was one where we focused on the slow movement of Beethoven. It was 132, which is called Heiliger Dunkelsong, Beethoven ill and then recovering. And the piece is very directly related to his medical experiences. So we've found connections in that way.
Okay, though. I'm talking, by the way, to the cellist, Christopher Cosenza. Okay, I get it then with medicine, but how about law and string quartets?
Oh, law has been great because we did a number of interesting things. One was conflict resolution.
Resolved musically?
You might imagine connections with conflict resolution and music and a string quartet. Another one we did that was quite interesting, though, was interpreting the Constitution, interpreting music, and the parallels. Does one read the Constitution literally? Does one interpret it for the present day? Do we read scores extremely literally? Do we even know what that means? And how do we interpret music? And we drew the parallels in a number of ways, and that was a very enlightening and interesting experience for us.
Well, the Constitution has been praised for its, you know, vagueness, which has enabled it to work for these 200 and more years. And I suppose if a composer put every little dot in a composition, it would be too limiting.
Some do. And even then, we don't even necessarily know what to do.
Or you can just ignore them.
Or you can ignore them. But, I mean, it's all about interpretation. It's amazing. And working with live composers such as John Adams has taught us so much. It's made us learn a lot about playing Haydn as well, for example, because we can get into the composer's brains a little more directly, try to understand what they were really going for.
Well, a lot of people are going to be going for your performance tonight. Those who attend at the Wisconsin Union Theater, the St. Lawrence String Quartet will be providing music such as you've heard today and a lot more. Where that came from, Emperor Quartet, John Adams, and the Joke Quartet of Haydn, and it's at 8 o'clock tonight, Wisconsin Union Theater. Thanks, guys. It's been a real treat having you here on the Midday today.
Welcome.
Thanks. Thank you.